から。Okay, can you hear me? Okay, all right, good. Well, a lot has been said already this morning, and I have prepared this sermon quite a while back because I read an article that just intrigued me. It had to do about the brain, and then when I heard of Lutzman's daughter. I kind of had second thoughts about giving this particular sermon about the brain, but I think it's a good subject to think about and to look at. So I'm going to be talking about prayer in the brain and what scientists have found out as to what is happening in the brain. So a little anatomy. I'm not a physician by no means or a nurse or anything like that. But I did some research, and I tried to do some soul searching about what happens when we pray, or what is it that our brain is going through as we pray. So that's really what I'm looking for, is the brain and what it does. So let me see. Actually, it should have been this one first. Yep. So what we're looking here is your brain and the power of prayer. And that's what I'm going to be talking about a little bit this morning. So I'm going to be talking about prayer first, and then I'm going to be going into the anatomy of the brain and what happens to the brain and what has scientists have found out about what is going on in the brain and the results of the study and things that God already foreknew, things that God already knew that would happen, things that because of the scientists and the doctors and what they found, you know, it's just proven what God has already designed and what God has already made. So I thought it was kind of interesting that was going on. So to get here, let's look at the promises of prayer, first of all, because we do have a lot of promises of prayer. That's the means by which we can communicate with God, can we talk to God, can we feel a little bit more close to Him, and we can feel a little bit close to each other as well, as we have a common goal, a common purpose, if you will, to do the things that God has done. So in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call me and I will answer." This is what God says, "Call me and I will answer." It's very simple. I mean, it's something that is not hard to understand. And then in Isaiah 58:9, it says, "And then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and He will say, 'Here I am.'" Those are just simple quotes from the Bible as to God will do if we meditate and we pray. And the last thing in Proverbs 15:29, we've been studying this. "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous." So we've been talking about this. We've been studying about the Proverbs and the power of prayer. And really, most of the Psalms have to do with prayer. And we're going to be studying about Proverbs, which is also the same. So because of everything that is going on in our lives, and the lives of the ones we love, and the lives that people that we know, especially in this time with this pandemic, it is a good thing to talk and to see what prayer can do for all of us, because that's the support that we have for one another. And it just blows my mind when somebody's having a difficult time, is sick or something, and they don't want the church to know. I just don't understand that. They just want to keep that to themselves. And that's not right, because we need to tell everybody what we are doing here. Philippians 4:6 says, "We are by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving make our requests known to God." So everything that we do, it goes to God, all of our prayers. So why is prayer so important? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. First of all, as I said, this is a communion with the Almighty. And I try to look at some verses that would help us to understand the communion between God with the Almighty and us and ourselves. And again, all of us should know that because we've been studying the Psalms, how important David is to do that. But in 1 John 3:1, beginning there, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And that's just the communication with God. So what do we understand from that is that being through prayer, we purify ourselves. Is we are like him. So we need to be in constant prayer. So the other thing that we do is praising and honoring God. We did this already. All the songs that we sang, all the announcements that were made for others within the congregation. And in Hebrews 2:12 says, "For he who has sanctified and those who are sanctified have one source." That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, "I will tell your name, my brothers, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise." So as Christians, we will praise and honor God by telling the world that he is our creator and our God. So that's another thing that we can see here. And of course, as we already read, we do some petitioning to God, requesting God's help. Philippians 4:4-6 talks about this. And then we also have, it's a privilege. We're children of God, so it is a privilege for us to go to him in prayer. In 1 John 5:14 tells us exactly what that is. So we do that. And we're in a fierce battle, are we not? I mean, that's what you said. There's so many things going on in this world. There's so many things going around us individually, as a community, as a country. There's so much going on that it's just hard to comprehend all that. And that is really evil that is happening before our eyes. And we need to start praying about all that. And of course, we also know that it deters sin from our lives. The more we're in prayer, the more we are communicating with God, the more we push sin away from us, and it helps us to be more aligned with his will. So we need to do that. And the last thing is that we can actually make a difference in our prayer. I mean, prayers have been answered. Tim likes to say that. Prayers have been answered. Prayers have been answered. And he constantly will say that. So, and it's true. Prayers have been answered. And prayer doesn't. God has asked prayers that we go to. So here are some brain facts that you might want to look at as far as what the brain has. And I thought there was something else that we individually have at least 70,000 thoughts a day. Think about that. 70,000 thoughts per day. So you think the brain is busy? It's very busy. It's going on. And it consumes 20% of all the oxygen in the body. This little thing consumes 20% of the oxygen that we have. And it's the fattest organ in our body. I mean, I know that, but it's 60% fat. Has no pain receptors. Does not feel pain. I didn't know that. The brain does not feel that. And as far as all the little tentacles and all the little vessels and all the things that we have, that's over 100,000 blood vessels. It's just amazing what it has. And of course, the baby's brain triples in size in the first year, and then it continues to grow up to age 18, and actually doesn't really develop until they understand that, I was wrong, not wrong. And sometimes they don't even do that, but yeah. So it is amazing what the brain can do. All right, so a little bit of anatomy about the brain. Here's the brain, and there's a right hemisphere and a left hemisphere, and they're almost identical, but they do different things, both of them, but it's important to see that. So, but I want to talk especially about the frontal lobe, because the frontal lobe is the part that is activated by prayer. So when we stop praying, that frontal lobe, is activated. And there's other things that happen when that frontal lobe is activated. It also helps us to be healthy. It is age related. You know, it's amazing that the frontal lobe can do that. So through prayer, we actually help ourselves as far as not only physically but also mentally. Then we have the other, the anterior cingulate, and I'll show a little bit more on this. And that one is, I mean, this morning, did we feel compassion when Dave was telling about the needs of the congregation, of the people that are not here, the people that are sick, people that are traveling? It's just, that's the compassion side of our brain. And it makes us aware of other people's feelings and empathize with them. And the reason I'm doing this is because there has been a study that has been done by Andrew Newberg, and it has been over 17 years. And of course, this has to do with religious practices and the meditation of the human brain. And those are some of the things that he has found, and this is what actually I'm using. And I'm going to be putting a little bit more on that. So the other part of the brain, there's only four parts that I'm going to be talking about, is the parietal lobe, which is, this one is deactivated when you get into prayer. There's a lot of things going in there, but it's deactivated when we go into prayer. It also has the power for the singing that we did, all that. We have that is activated, and so there's two sides to that. What happens there, and the last part, which is the limbic system, that system is deactivated by prayer, and comforts and reduces stress associated with the following: anger, guilt, anxiety, depression, fear, resentment, and pessimism. So all those 4 through 8 are things that the brain actually slows down whenever we are in prayer. Okay, so let's look at a little bit of the frontal lobe. And you can see on the chart of the frontal lobe is in front of the head. It's depicted by red here. And this thing actually helps us with memory, with planning, with judgment, with reasoning, with impulse control, with motor functions, with higher other functions. All that is happening with the frontal lobe. So that helps us. And then I already talked about the anterior cingulate as well, and that's a little portion you can see it here as it turns the little red thing. Well, that one talks about helps modulation and CPACE test, error detection, motivation, and attention. All that is by that particular side of the brain. And the parietal lobe, which is the back side, the middle of the brain on the back, it has to do with speech, cognition, visual perception, spatial orientation, information presence, pain, and touch sensation. All that is happening. So that's just a little bit of anatomy of what the brain does. So what's the results of this study is really what interests me the most. When we focus in prayer, these are the things that we really result from prayer. We have gratitude, we have celebration, we have increased compassion, we have positive vision of the future, rejection of anger and resentment. All these things are positive things that happen when we're in prayer. We also releases stress, reduces depression and anxiety, lowers the blood pressure, heart rate, and eventually extends life. And all this is because of prayer. And it's just amazing that they found it. So when we reflect on religious things, on biblical studies, on singing, on special things that are in our mind, this is what happens to our brain. This is where we go. We have some of that. So, involvement is crucial. Involvement is crucial. What do I mean by involvement? Well, you need to be active within a congregation, as part of our congregation. This is what we do here. We're active. So when we're active, we're helping each other. We need to do that. It enriches social relationships between us. I mean, I know that the pandemic has stopped us from somehow to visit each other's home, to have meals together, to do some things together, but that really does do that. And like I said before, it does lower the aging of the brain. It helps to do that. It also makes you reinforce your beliefs, your health with that, especially if when you're involved singing, and you know, there was a lot of songs that we saw that when we involved singing and we really get into the singing and listen to the words and glorify God, because that really helps us to do that. In turn, your faith and your brain gets better. So that's really what we are looking at. When we experience doubt or conflict or about our faith, you know, this is another thing that happens. It stress. We get stressed out. We get sick. Some things happen to us when we have that, to both the brain and the body. And of course, we need to resolve those things by pursuing the things that we have, the activities that I've been talking about, and that is prayer, singing, and social. So being social with each other as Christians. Andrew Newberg and Eugene DeQuille, they also had a study about the brain. And remember how much activity brain has? Well, this is this picture here shows the activity of the brain. So it's about 70,000 thoughts during the day. So the brain's always busy. You can see the red on this picture of all the activity that's in the brain. But what happens when you are in prayer, you notice what happens, that what they found out, and I thought it was interesting, that all of the activities really go to the front. That's the frontal lobe. That's where prayer comes in. That's where you, when you get that peace, that's when you get comfortable. That's when you really are at peace with yourself and at peace with God. So I think I thought it was just amazing that happened. I'm going to go back more. And this has to do with science aligns with God's word, as you can see here. And again, the frontal lobe, as I stated before, is activated when we go deeply into prayer. Like in Philippians 4, 8 through 9 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That's Margie's favorite passage. So you see what happens when we are into God's word. Also, positive effects on the frontal lobe occur when we spend at least 12 minutes. That's what the study says, 12 minutes a day in prayer. Can you imagine? If it was longer, how long did Jesus pray? The whole night. He prayed a lot. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, as we were talking about this morning, and he prayed. He made it an effort to get up and pray. And he found his disciples sleeping while he tried to pray. He tried to help them to do that. But Psalms 119, 10 through 12 says, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. That's what we see with the frontal lobe. And then the anterior cingulate. That's the brain that's the neurological heart of us, and is the heart of compassion for others in experience. So 1 John 3:17 through 18 says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does he love God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with the word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So that's what the compassion side of the brain does for us. Then the parietal lobe is activated during self-centered contemplation. And if we look at Matthew 10, 38, that says this, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for me, for my sake, and I will find it. So the last part that we're looking at is that the bank system, and that's the part that really has a negative side to it. You can see that it's got the hostility, the negative, the control, the anger, all this thing. So when we are in prayer, we actually deactivate those things and we think good thoughts. And it's sad that a lot of times we spend a lot of time in that area, especially if somebody does something to us or we're hurt or something, then we want to go back. So Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So exercise your brain. Did you know that your brain is like a muscle? If we exercise it, the better it works. So how do we exercise our brain? The best thing that I see now is prayer. It's the best exercise that we can do. So during prayer, singing, or reading, the brain becomes highly engaged in the frontal lobes. The brain scans show that contemplative prayers increase activity in the frontal lobe. That's what I just showed you a few slides before. So, because of this, the promises multiply. And we see here on 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked for from him." So, again, we know that. Also, "How much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask?" And the last thing is, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think." Ephesians 3:20. It's endless. It's endless. God's love for us is endless. And the avenue for us to be able to do that is prayer. And we need to do a lot more of that. And I've got to admit, I don't do enough of that myself. I'm speaking for myself. So always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. Luke 18:1 says, this is a parable that Jesus taught to the disciples to teach them something. This parable happens to be the widow and the one that was petitioning the unrighteous judge. You remember that? When she was persistent, she didn't give up. She kept going and going, and some of us may call it nagging, but she kept going and going and going until the judge finally granted her request. So she did not give up. Same thing with us, with prayer, with a loved one that is sick, with somebody that have asked for our prayer.